Hello everyone, this is Tracy Ferrone, and I'm going to read another one of my articles that will be featured in the March 2025 Bee Culture magazine, and it's called Escaping the Viron. I thought it would be helpful to explain how viruses work. There's so much talk about viruses, both in human medicine, animal medicine, and certainly with our honeybees as well. So I hope you learn and enjoy this article. So Escaping the Viron. As we trod through the end of winter season into March, we see hopes of spring in the occasional warm day, allowing us to get outside and get some fresh air. We look forward to getting back into our bees, shedding some layers, and leaving behind the cold and flu season. Excuse me, for example. However, much like us and our other animals, honeybees are plagued with dozens of different viruses. Have you ever wondered how viruses work, but have been intimidated by too much crazy science? This spring semester, I have the privilege of teaching a public health and infectious disease course to my pre-health students. We learned that whether bee or bovine, human or hog, viral infections often follow similar, long-understood principles. Please allow me to put the professor hat on for a bit and bring you along for a lecture and see how all this can be applied to our bees. So what are viruses? A virus, or the term viron, which is specifically used as an infectious type of virus, is simply a bag of protein that contains one of the two nucleic acids, which you've probably heard of, either RNA or DNA. These nucleic acids carry or decode genetics, the genetic code instructions, to make all of the proteins in our body parts that design us as we are and how we function. Virons infect cells by incorporating their own nucleic acids into the host cell to do the viron's bidding. There is still some controversy about whether a virus is even a living thing or not, but no one disputes their ability to affect living cells, sometimes severely. Viruses use cells to reproduce more viruses or hide out in cells, sometimes for years. Viral infections of cells can weaken or destroy cells and even stimulate our immune system to attack and kill our own infected cells. Only viruses that are able to penetrate certain species of cells, human, dog, bee, bird, whatever, can cause infection in those species. Only some viruses are able to affect one animal species. Others develop the ability to infect many species. Virons capable of infecting animals and people are zoonotic viruses. That's Z-O-O-N-O-T-I-C, zoonotic. Luckily, there are no zoonotic honeybee viruses yet. Because viruses are often passed from cell to cell and animal to animal, there's lots of potential for mixing and a realignment of nucleic acids, that RNA and DNA, if you remember, which results in different variants. This is why we see different influenza, coronaviruses emerging every year, and why in honeybee viruses, we have discovered multiple variants in, for example, deformed wing virus, which is now classified as variants A, B, and C. So I want to talk to you a little bit about some basic epidemiology and statistics. When we consider data and facts provided by any study or publication, it is very helpful to have a basic knowledge of how stats work and clear definitions of common terminology used. The study of how diseases work is epidemiology, or we commonly just say epi. First, there are four especially important things to understand about viral diseases and how their epidemiology works. Number one, sorry germaphobes, we may be exposed, covered, and contain trillions, that's with a T, of viruses every day. It's part of life on planet Earth. Coronaviruses, including good old SARS, COVID-2, rhinoviruses, influenza, they are all virions circulating in humans, and some are in animal populations too. Honeybees also have dozens of viruses circulating in their populations, and the more we look, the more viruses we find. So viruses are a fact of life, and they are here. Lots of them. Number two. Most infections are subclinical infections. That means while an individual may carry the virus for a time, they do not show clinical signs and are not sick. Healthy individuals typically clear or live with virons with little negative effects. This is also true of most honeybee viruses. That's very good news, actually. Number three, while new viral infections coming into a population may cause a temporary epidemic, which is defined by new, higher numbers of clinical cases that we see, viral infections naturally break against herd immunity. Herd immunity is a good thing. And it breaks against that herd immunity wall of general good health population, and the virus becomes what's called endemic, E-N-D-E-M-I-C, where we have a low expected number of cases. Usually this occurs within a matter of months. And inevitably, this is good news for most individuals. Number four, viral infections most severely affect individuals of a population who are immunocompromised, those that are very young, old, or have other diseases, comorbidities, or have poor nutrition. These groups are more likely to be ill or to die in association with a viral infection. This concept is also key in honeybee mortality involving viruses. In other words, for a lot of viruses, you have to have other things going on with you for it to completely annihilate your health. Here's a few more terms you should consider and learn to evaluate. The prevalence, P-R-E-V-A-L-E-N-C-E, of a disease is the total number of cases of a disease within a certain population. And the population is any group or animals of people that you're looking at a snapshot in time. So prevalence is the total number of diseases, cases of a disease within a population at a snapshot in time. Incidence, I-N-C-I-D-E-N-C-E, is the rate of new cases over a specific period within that population. So these are new cases coming up, and usually that's a period of time, typically a year. So they're kind of related, but a little bit of difference. And when people quote those, that you should have an idea what they're talking about. The number of clinical cases within a population is associated with a morbidity rate. That's with a B-M-O-R-B-I-D-I-T-Y, morbidity rate, which is the total percentage of sick individuals per the number in the population. So for example, if there's 121 million people in the U.S. that get sick with rhinovirus, which is the most common cause of the cold, common cold, coronaviruses, by the way, are number one and have been for quite a while. And if the population of the U.S. is 346 million, the morbidity rate of rhinovirus in that population would be about 35%. So you take that 121 million, divide it by 346 million, multiply by 100, and you get a rate of 35%. So that would mean that 35% of the people in the U.S. get the rhinovirus every year. And that's actually, I made those numbers up, but that's actually pretty close to what happens on a given year. There's also another rate here to talk about. The number of deaths per population is expressed as a mortality rate. So the number of deaths per population is mortality rate. And unfortunately, every disease is going to have some mortality, no matter what we do. Influenza, for example, on average kills between 20 and 51,000 people, typically, what we expect each year in the U.S. But most are elderly or immunocompromised. Obviously, we'd like to keep these rates as low as possible. Typically, we like our mortality rates to be a fraction of 1%. Mortality rates higher than 1% are concerning, and rates higher than 10% are very alarming. COVID-19, for example, their adjusted mortality rates are now showing between a 0.02 to 0.15%. Yes, you heard me right. 0.02 to 0.5% mortality rate, which is pretty darn low, over the entire pandemic, with a vast majority of deaths occurring in the elderly, those with comorbidities, or immunocompromised patients. For comparison, Ebola virus's average mortality rate is around 50%, and rabies virus is almost 100% mortality rate. So let's look at some bee viral data. While there is still much to learn to understand about honeybee viruses, we certainly know much more than we did 10 years ago. We certainly know that viruses are in our colonies, and I have provided several articles in the references that I included in the article, if you'd like to read more in depth on the subject. There's also a few links to some epidemiological data that we have on the prevalence of selected honeybee viruses in the U.S. The USDA APHIS data site is a really good user-friendly site to look at. I would recommend that for you. They have some nice, interesting maps there. And while their sample sizes are relatively small, the data does give a yearly overview of the U.S. viral prevalence in 10 different viruses. For example, deformed wing virus A and B variants are found in the majority of samples, sometimes up to 100%. However, this does not mean that every colony was ill with the virus, but it does indicate that the virus is widespread, likely well before our analysis was begun. Because of the principal similarities between honeybee viruses and universal viral behaviors, even my kids, meaning my students, are exploring the topic. My honeybee research students teamed up with our genetics professor to learn how to develop quality PCR testing techniques for detecting viruses in tissue samples. We were able to determine the prevalence of deformed wing virus in our own honeybee colonies. Our small study collected 22 samples from non-clinical honeybee colonies looking for the presence of deformed wing virus. PCR was performed to detect this RNA virus, and we found a prevalence of about 91%, or 20 of the 22 colonies. This prevalence matches up actually with the APHIS data, USDA APHIS data, and demonstrates that the presence of viruses within subclinical colonies. The techniques my students learn in this study can be applied in any research or clinical situation in diagnosing and studying viruses in any species, including humans. So is there a treatment or a prevention for this? What about a vaccine? Historically, some vaccines have been key life-saving components in controlling viral diseases, but other vaccines have been a total flop. Currently, there are no honeybee vaccines for viruses, but research is in the works. Human and other animal species antiviral medications also have mixed results, and their practical applications over the years may not be so great. A single magic bullet to eliminate viral threats continues to elude us all. So what do we do? Well, I suggest a New Year's resolution. Wait, I thought New Year's was in January. Well, years ago, many cultures started their New Year in March. And for most beekeepers, this is when our season starts as well. Except for, sorry, you commercial guys. You're already out there in January going strong. But the best way to control viral infections is to research, learn, and focus on the basic stresses that you can control, which also happen to be the best way to control viral infections in us all, whether we're talking about honeybees or humans. Reducing stress and promoting healthy physiology through proper nutrition and reducing comorbidities is the key to good health. Varroa, poor nutrition, and queen issues are still the main reasons for colony loss in the U.S. If we can mitigate these three things and maintain healthy immunity in our colonies, most viral infections will remain in the background. So I suggest these three things. Number one, test, treat, and control varroa, which would normally deplete immunity and the functions as a vector to viruses. Number two, maintain good nutrition, which provides and builds effective immunity. Number three, maintain a good queen who provides effective, high functional physiology, including immunity. We can also take biosecurity precautions when appropriate and use bee yard pesticides correctly. These can also mitigate stress on honeybees. So make this beekeeping New Year's resolution. Focus on getting down to the basics and the rest will follow. And as for you, be sure to ask your doc if you're getting enough vitamin D. The sun is beginning to shine. I provided some references in the article. If you get a chance, please take a look at it. There's several links. And we are getting more and more articles on viruses, particularly deformed wing virus, that a simple Google search can certainly start to lead you in the proper direction. Thank you. I appreciate your time and your attention in listening to this article. Have a good day.